Revelation chapter 21. And God is ready to give you that assurance. You could have that assurance tonight that you've been hearing about, that your sins are forgiven and that you are right with God who has the final word. I was enjoying a verse today. It's not what I'm going to speak about tonight, but I was enjoying it. Psalm 86 and verse 5 says, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and is plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Sometimes we're not ready to forgive. Somebody did something wrong to us, and we're going to make them wait a little while. Not ready to forgive them yet. Well, Psalm 86, verse 5 says, The Lord is ready to forgive. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. If there's someone here tonight and you would like to experience and have the forgiveness of sins and be right with God, the problem is on your end because He's ready. He's waiting and He's ready to forgive you this evening. In Revelation 21 and verse 4, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 21, And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 27, And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, so not one sin. Not even a white lie or an exaggerated story. Not even a mild swear word. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. They are the only ones who will ever be in that wonderful place. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, chapter 22, verse 4, And they shall see His face, that's the people who will be there, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever, and so on. You going to heaven? Like, are you sure you're going to be in heaven? Or are you just living every day like this, hoping? I know a lady who sleeps with a cross under her pillow. She's hoping. That's an awful, pathetic way to live your life. When you can know. You can know, be 100% sure that you're going to be in heaven. What's your destination? When you look at that chart behind us, you say, I don't like that chart. I've seen it one too many times. You know that chart? That picture. Nothing magical about the chart. It's not a dream. It's not someone had a dream up on a mountain or anything and created that chart. Just some artist took what Jesus said about the two roads in life and the two destinies in eternity and put them out in a very graphic way so you could understand that there are only two roads in life and that there are only two destinations in life. We spoke on Friday night about the destination of hell. Reverse the order. Sometimes when I speak in this, I speak in heaven first and then announce that the next night I'm going to speak in hell. And it's surprising how many people don't show up. Everybody likes to hear about heaven. Not so many people want to hear about the reality of hell. Tonight, going to speak about heaven. There's only two places people go when they die. The only two options. There's no purgatory. That's not in the Word of God. It's heaven or hell. A place of conscious, eternal suffering. And so I ask you again, are you going to heaven? If we asked you at the door, we're not going to do that. But if we just held your hand and just for a couple of seconds longer and asked you and looked you straight in the eye and said, are you going to heaven? What would you do? Would your head drop and would you get a little nervous? Are you uncomfortable with that question? You know, anyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, you can ask us anytime if we're going to heaven. You can call us up on the phone, email us, ask us if we're going to heaven. Yes, we're going to heaven. We love to tell people that we're going to heaven. It has nothing to do with our own works. There's a hymn that we often sing, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there, by faith, I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. And then there's a verse that goes, no works of mine, no merit can I bring, no holiness within. I only trust the precious blood of Christ. It cleanses from all sin. What about you? You have a passport to the United States? Have your passport for heaven? I was turned back at the border 3 times over the last 10 years. It's a horrible experience. One day my tongue was so tongue-tied and dried. I was terrified. What are they going to do to me? They wouldn't let me make a phone call in the United States property, just down there in Calais, Maine. Oh, I had to get out really quickly. Didn't have the right papers, I guess. I was just going down there to have some gospel meetings. I thought right for those few minutes that it was the end of the world, that I wasn't getting into the States, that they're turning me back. But I thought, end of the world? Not getting into the States? Give your head a shake, Peter. That's not the end of the world if you never get it back into the States. But let me tell you what would be the end. For someone to die and not get into heaven, that would be the worst of all things. It's one thing not to get into the United States. I was frantic that day. But can you imagine for someone to live their life and to bump up against this reality and to find out I'm not going to get into heaven? What a discovery, and the sad part about it is it comes too late. If you don't have it settled now, it's too late after. Jack Welch, I don't know whether that name rings a bell, he's retired now, he's getting to be an older man, but he was a CEO of the big, well-known, world-famous company, GE, General Electric. He was one of the most successful corporate executives in the history of American business. When I was in business, I used to read the Harvard Business Journals, and they often featured Jack Welch because he was the CEO guru. So he was retired now, and former CBS correspondent Dan Rather was interviewing Jack Welch about his long, illustrious life. And he said to Mr. Welch, what's the toughest question, Mr. Welch, that you have ever been asked? Mr. Welch thought. He said, I think it was when I was asked, do you think you will go to heaven? Now you think of all the complex business questions that he was confronted with over his career. And now he's reflecting on his life. What is the most difficult question, the toughest question you've ever been asked? And he comes up with this one. Do you think you'll go to heaven, Mr. Welch? And so Dan Rather, the CBS correspondent, said, and so how did you answer the question? And let me read it to you. I'll mess it up if I try to quote it. He said, "Well, it's a long answer." If you have a long answer tonight about whether or not you're going to heaven, you're not going to heaven. People who are going to heaven have a short answer. Very short. They don't have to go on for 5 minutes. If you're going to heaven, it's very simple and basic. Yes, I'm going to heaven. Christ died for me, the sinner. And I'm going there because of His merits, not my own. Period. Are you going to heaven? Do you have a long answer or a short answer? So he said, it's a long answer, but I said that, well, if caring about people, if giving it your all, if being a great friend counts, despite the fact that I've been divorced a couple of times and no one's proud of that, I haven't done everything right all the time, but I think I got a shot. I'm in no hurry to get there and to find out any time soon. What's your destination? Are you going to heaven? Healthy-minded, clear-thinking people, they want to end up in heaven. If you don't want to be in heaven, you better check with your psychiatrist and be on medication. Because healthy-minded people do not want to suffer. They don't want to be tormented. Only someone in their wrong thinking would ever choose suffering over peace and happiness. Heaven is a real place. We said one other night, of all, it's easier to tell you what's not in heaven than what is in heaven. Because it so far surpasses what we know here on earth. But look, I can tell you a whole list of things that is not in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. Great! No sin! No suffering! You won't be sore anymore, Mr. McLeod, when you get home to heaven. No aches, no pains. There'll be no bruises. Saw a girl on East Hastings Street in downtown Vancouver. We were giving up peanut butter sandwiches and bottles of water. And she came up and all I could see was her face was bruised, her neck was bruised, her arms were bruised. I don't know who was abusing her. But I'll tell you this. In the heavenly home, there's a lot of things that don't go on right in earthly homes. There's a lot of sadness under nicely painted houses on earth. But in the heavenly home, there'll be no bruises. There'll be no brokenness in that place. No cemeteries. No crying. No disease, no discomfort, no disappointment. Remember getting all excited about stuff and then finding out, oh, rats. No disappointments. No disappointments in heaven. There'll be no emptiness. You know, I feel sorry for Brad Pitt.
You say you do?
Huh. I think you would count yourself lucky if you were a Brad Pitt. No. Brad Pitt is trying to get a little bit of heaven down here. He's not finding much of it. You say, Brad Pitt? Really? No. He was interviewed for the Rolling Stone magazine a little while ago now. But he said some more recent things that just confirm his awful emptiness. He says, they asked him, "Are you satisfied, Mr. Pitt?" He said, "I know all these things are supposed to be important to us, the car, the condo, our version of success. But if that's the case, why is the general feeling out there reflecting more impotence and isolation and desperation and loneliness? If you ask me, I say, toss all this. We gotta find something else. Because all I know is that at this point in time, we are heading for a dead end. A numbing of the soul, a complete atrophy of the spiritual being, and I don't want that." This is what Brad Pitt is saying. If anybody's got the world by the tail, it's Brad Pitt. He's not happy. He's not satisfied. So the Rolling Stones interviewer said, well, if you're heading towards this kind of existential dead end in society, what do you think should happen? Brad Pitt says, hey, man, I don't have those answers yet. The emphasis now is on success and personal gain. And he said, I am sitting in it. And I'm telling you, that's not it. I am the guy who's got everything. I know. But I'm telling you, once you've got everything, then you're just left with yourself. I said it before and I'll say it again. It doesn't help me sleep any better, and I don't wake up any better because of it. End of quote. I would like to be able to get a message to Brad Pitt and saying, there's no emptiness in heaven. If you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll have fullness of joy down here and fullness of joy forever in eternity. There's no emptiness in heaven. There are no heartaches or heartbreaks in heaven. What a place. A place of light and warmth, of security, of tranquility, of peace. Wouldn't you like to go to heaven? But you're not tonight. Not something you fool around with. I knocked on a little mobile home door in the Maritimes. I knew what was going on inside. The mom was sitting in a wheelchair. She looked very weak. Her three teenagers were sitting there. The husband had left her. She'd had a car accident, and that's why she was in the wheelchair. Damaged her back. Husband stuck with her for that. And then when she was diagnosed with spine cancer, he decided, I'll call it quits, and he bailed out and left her with the three kids. So I knocked at the door, and I went in to see her. The kids went out. And we talked for a little while. And then she said, I tell my children, I'm going to heaven. She said, it helps them cope. But I asked her, but are you? I'll never forget it. It's one thing to tell your kids that Mama will be in heaven. But will you be there? The destination. You say, well, heaven's okay for older people to think about, but I'm young. I don't really get too excited about heaven. Like, that's sort of, isn't that like the celestial nursing home? Oh, look at, let me, if you're thinking that heaven's like some big, long, eternal nursing home, you better think again. You better read your Bible. You better get to know God, because heaven is not going to be a boring place. Maybe you, we were in a furniture store there on Saturday, and we were trying out these rockers, recliners, where you put your feet up. I hope not one person thinks that heaven is going to be a place lined with rockers. No, heaven is going to be a beehive of activity. There won't be a dull moment in heaven. You look at earth. The God that made the mountains that holds explorers and adventurers spellbound as they try to get to the very top of Mount Everest and they try to plumb the depths of a Grand Canyon. Who made the exciting earth? The God that made the safaris in Africa, all those exotic animals, He made all of these things that made the monkeys to swing in branches from here to there. Who made it? Our God made all of these things. If you think earth is exciting and it's been contaminated by sin, and you still think it's exciting, whatever will heaven be like, where sin will never mar it? No, heaven is a very real place. We're not going to be like ghosts up there, whispering, wispy, waspy ghosts going around, bumping into each other. It's nothing like that. Heaven is real. Oh, friend, are you going to heaven? It's not some cold gold institution. There's gold, there's a gold street. But it's not like that. It's not like a hospital. It's not a sterile clinical environment. Nah, heaven, I would think you'd want to be going to heaven. You don't want to miss heaven. What about the qualifications for heaven? There are qualifications. Revelation 5 says that those who will be there have been redeemed by precious blood. You have a moment when you're redeemed by precious blood. The old hymn says, my passport to the realms of bliss is Jesus died for me. I asked a lady down there in Sussex, doctor, you know the jokes about St. Peter? I told you, I think, the other night, but I'll tell you again. You know, St. Peter isn't going to be standing at the pearly gates. It's not going to be like that. But when I asked her if she gets to the pearly gates and St. Peter asks her on what basis, why should he let her in? She said, why not? That's what she'd say to St. Peter. Why not? I wonder what you will be on your passport when you come to those gates. Your resume? All the things that you've accomplished in life? That won't get you in. You're going to take your laminated baptismal certificate? That won't work either. How are you going to get into heaven? There's only one way, friend. Jesus died for me. Plus nothing else. If you don't have that, you won't be there. Saul of Tarsus, he was fighting against God, but he had that meeting on the Damascus Road. And he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul is going to be in heaven because Christ died for him. That religious man, Nicodemus, met the Lord Jesus one night. And Jesus said, you don't have a chance of getting into the kingdom of God, Nicodemus, with all your religion. You must be born again. So there are qualifications for getting into heaven. Most people understand that doing bad things will keep us out of heaven, but very few realize this, that doing good things won't help us get in. No, won't. There's definite qualifications you need. You must have your sins forgiven. You must know Christ as your Savior. Who's the congregation in heaven? The believers of all ages. Believers from before Christ, those who look forward to Him coming to die for their sins, and those of us who look backward to Calvary 2,000 years ago as the one who died for our sins. We're going to be there. And we're all going to be united in worship. Not for our pastor on earth. We're not going to be saying, I did it my way. Those aren't the stories we're going to be sharing. We're all going to be united in worship towards the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what it will be like. I have never seen Him yet with my physical eyes. I have seen Him by the eye of faith through reading the Word of God that Christ died for a sinner like me. But what will it be like the first time I step into heaven and there He is! He died for me. I don't know whether I'll jump for joy or whether I'll fall at His feet. I have no idea what I'm going to do. Oh, what a day when I see the Lord Jesus Christ and am able to just tell Him how much I love Him. What about you? There'll be mums and dads up there, but a son or daughter down never made it. There'll be daughters and sons up there and a mum or dad never made it. There'll be husbands up there and a wife never made it. There'll be some that we didn't expect to see. They'll be there. And some that we thought would be there who won't be there in the congregation in heaven. And the occupation of heaven will be worshiping Christ. What will it be like to worship Him? We're going to be serving Him. We read that in Revelation 22. Serving Him forever. We're going to be learning. We're going to be fellowshipping together with saints, people from all ages, from all cultures, of all times, everyone. And we all have the common denominator is Christ for all of us. And we're going to be servants in His kingdom. and, well, a half hasn't been told what it's going to be like. That's our future. Those of us who are saved. Made any reservations? Maybe you've got your reservations made for a little holiday. You know, if you don't have your reservation made for heaven, you will never be there. Your reservation for heaven has to be made in this life. Are you ready? You have a reservation? Can you just let your shoulders down and say, yes, thank God, I'm going to heaven. Christ is my Savior. He died for me. That's all it takes, but that's what it takes to have your reservation for heaven. Shall we pray? Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we give thanks for the clarity of the Word of God. We pray for those who have never changed their mind, for those who have never known repentance in their life. Our Father, for those who have never faced the reality of their sins, and for those who yet don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they're not going to heaven as of tonight. We pray that they'll be awakened to see the urgency of their need, and tonight trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We ask this, part is with thy blessing, we pray, in his lovely name. Amen. Now we're going to sing a hymn. It's number 227. Melvin Thompson was a young man over in Prince Edward Island, and he was getting his lunch ready one day, and he was lighting, well, it wasn't a very safe stove that he was lighting, and it blew up in his face. Melvin was only in his 20s, and the flames reached out and grabbed him and burnt Melvin very, very badly. And they loaded Melvin into the ambulance. And the ambulance attendants were trying to help him, but he was burned very, very badly. And he said to the ambulance attendants, "Don't worry. All is well with my soul." And they were heading off to Charlottetown. Melvin was in the back of the ambulance, just minutes left to live, hours. Do you know what he was doing? He was singing. What would you be doing? You know what he was singing? I wrote it down. "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be." He died later that day. He was going to heaven. What would you be doing in the back of an ambulance if you knew your time was up? 227, "Where will you spend eternity?" We're just going to sing number, verse 2 of 227. The meeting's over.
Many are choosing Christ.